Hey, folks, this is Pastor Mike, and you're listening to our Wednesday night Bible study online. We hope you enjoy this, and you can hear more of our sermons and teachings at www.visitbethelchurch.org. God bless you, and have a great day.
Good to be in God's house tonight. Can I hear you say amen? Amen. Jared's up here talking politics.
Oh, yeah, you're not supposed to mix that
with it. Yeah. I had a guy write an email. Matthew, pull this speaker down. I mean, don't jump up there and rip it down. Just turn it down, please. And I'm checking my... No, the other down. There we go. Checking my email. One of the email accounts that I have, I think it's the Pastor Mike Online email. Some guy writes in. And he says, so, Pastor Mike, now that Obama's been reelected, what are you going to do? Turn all Rush Limbaugh on us? You know, him and Hannity, they're all racist. And you're a racist, too. Yeah. And I have a lot of things to say about yesterday. Some will probably come out tonight. I'll probably say some things online tomorrow. But we don't have the country that we thought we had. And especially when you stand in opposition to a political candidate because he kills babies, he marries sodomite people, he is pro-Muslim law in this country. We stand in complete opposition to principles, and all we get is accused of being racist because we don't like the policies that he makes. That's sad. It's like, don't you have a better argument than that? Whoopi Goldberg, she does this all the time. What's that show she's on? The View? The Mouth?
The View.
The View? Okay. And basically, she said, if you don't like Obama, it's because you're a racist. That's your problem. Your problem is you don't like black people. Listen, this is not 1920. This is not 1940. This is not 1960. This is not anything like that. This is 2012. This is a different country. And for the most part, I'm not saying it's completely gone, but most Americans don't think that way anymore. Okay, we don't think that way anymore. And it's pro-Bible to believe that all nations, kindreds, and tongues, and languages will be around the great white throne of God. Revelation 7 says so. I believe what this book says. I would like to see Barack Hussein with a palm branch in his hand in Revelation 7 saying, "Worthy is the Lamb." Amen. Or Hosanna. That's what they were saying. That's what I would like to see. I don't know that we'll see that, but that's what I'd like to see. But I'll tell you, we don't have the country that we thought we had. We don't have that anymore. And so, you know what? Am I discouraged? Maybe a little bit. I'm disappointed in my country. But as far as encouragement goes, God sent me here to preach the gospel. And to tell what this Bible says. And light shines better in darkness. It does. And you sitting here tonight, and you folks watching, what better time do we have to be the light of this world than when a time when our country has no light in it whatsoever? It's time for God's people to shine. Can I hear you say amen? I actually had a lady come over here today, and I told her I'd shared her story. She goes to another church here in this town, and she became familiar with what we're doing on the internet. Her and her husband, they watch the stuff, they're learning some things, and she came over to my office this afternoon, and I just had, you know, started to remember her. She'd only been over here one time before getting DVDs, and she came in, she shut the door, and she started crying. She said, "I can't believe that we did this." And this, and she said a lot of things, and I told her, I said, can I share what you said? And she said, yeah, absolutely. And I told her, I said, you know what? Get in this Bible and read. That one of these days, it's actually going to be worse than this. And when it is, lift up your head, for your redemption draweth nigh. You know what? So let's roll our sleeves up and let's go to work, people. Amen? Let's roll our sleeves up and go to work. Let's do what 40 million Americans refuse to do. And let's go to work. Somebody say amen. Got a prayer request. This is actually from Monica Chadwell. Her and her husband and little boy was at our homecoming. And I think their picture's out here. She posted something on Facebook, and I got it apparently too late. But she said her dad had his gallbladder ruptured. That's bad when that happens. And so anyway, I sent a note to her saying we're going to pray for her. Well, that was last night. So apparently he's better. But she said, thank you so much for offering to pray for my dad and mom tonight at church. Again, his name is Arno. My mom's name is Judy. And when you pray, would you mind to specifically pray for their salvation? They have been Jehovah's Witness for over 40 years. I do believe that they love the Lord, but are severely misguided in their area or their idea of who our Lord Jesus actually is. Amen to that. They both say that he does not. They both say that they pray, but their prayers are rote and impersonal. My dad has often said that he does not believe that God will answer him. Though my mom has not vocalized the same, I believe that her prayer life suffers too. Though not high up nor active, my dad is also a Mason, she says. I've been praying for years that God would remove the veil that shrouds their eyes and that he would give them eyes to see and ears to hear his truth. Thank you again. You're such a blessing to my family. May God richly bless you and refresh you. And that's from Sister Monica. And we're going to pray for her dad tonight. Pray for her mom and dad that they can be saved. Keith Crum is over in the hospital. And he had a pretty rough bout with pneumonia. Megan took him over there today. And he's better now. He's sitting up and we had a good visit. I tell you, you can just tell when a guy's got the Holy Spirit in his heart, he's not afraid of anything. And he's sitting over there not afraid. And they have told him some pretty hard news today. A lot of you know he has lung cancer. And they just pretty much said that he's going to have bouts of pneumonia from here on out. And this is tough. This is tough on Brady and Bradley and Megan and Amanda. And but they're still praying for Debbie. Now, he told me that Debbie said that she might come to church. Okay? And I told him, I said, Keith, nobody is too hard for God to break. Amen. Nobody is. And so anyway, let's pray for, that's where Brady and Bradley are tonight. And so let's pray for them and lift up that family in prayer. Do we have any other prayer requests tonight? Yes, Brian.
I have an interview tomorrow.
Yes.
Pray that it don't stop.
Pray for Brian. He actually got to teach today, didn't you?
Yes.
Amen. Amen. So pray for him, all right? Yes, sweetie pie. Pray for Lindsay, okay? Pray for her. Lift her up in your prayers. Pray for Lisa. Next week is going to be having a little bit of surgery next week, so pray for her. Gary, pray for... Yeah, I didn't call him. Keep bugging me, okay? Mike LaRocca, guy up at Rochester, Illinois. Rochester, Illinois. There is a Rochester, Illinois. Rochester, New York. Pray for him and pray for healing, all right? Anybody else got a prayer request? Yes, ma'am. For your niece. Is her name Denise? No. And your nephew's the nephew? Okay, never mind. Okay. All right, we'll pray for her. It's a her, right? I got that right. All right, Taylor. Pray for cousin Alex.
For safe travel.
Safe travel. Okay. And straight aim. Yeah. Pray for your country. Okay? I'm dead serious about this. I've had some guys write me Okay? And I'm not going to talk about it tonight. It's not that it's some super secret thing. It's just that I want us to have a good service tonight. Okay? But our country needs prayer. We are a nation, a house divided. And that was the plan, was to divide the house. And a house divided against itself will not stand. So be ready. What is the opposite of standing? Study that in the Bible. Okay? Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, we love You. We thank You, dear God, so much for Jesus Christ. God, I thank You, Lord. As I watched the goings-on last night, first of all, Lord, I want to thank You, Lord, for Todd Akin, who lost, but in his speech, God, I like what he said. Lord, You're the one in charge. You're the one that has laid out our history. And You did it this way for Your glory and Your honor. And I thank You for that kind of testimony. God, if we had more men in office that had that same idea, we would be a better country. But Father, the majority of our nation has chosen some very, very bad ideas to be the course for this country. And so, Father, You know more about it than I do. And Lord, we come to You tonight, number one, as citizens of heaven. And we thank You, dear God, Lord, that You have called us and You've redeemed us. And Lord, our hope and our future is not in politics or politicians or the next law that can be passed or the next tax increase or tax decrease. God, that is not where our hope is. Our hope is in Jesus Christ and His redemptive blood and the finished work of the cross. It's already done. And we thank You for that. We ask You, dear God, Lord, that You would give us, Lord, hope. Grant us hope. Give us the gift of hope. Lord, help us realize we are saved by hope. And hope, it's not hope that is seen. It's not hope that is in this world. It is hope in the glorious appearing of our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ. And Lord, now, instead of our heads being down, Lord, help us to raise our heads up high, knowing of whom we believe and knowing of whom we are persuaded, Lord, that You'll do what You said You're going to do. Father, we just pray, Lord, tonight for one another. I pray, dear God, Lord, some people here today just have a rough day. I pray, dear God, tonight, Lord, that they would find comfort and grace, and good fellowship, Lord, in the house of the Lord tonight. Father, we pray for Keith tonight. Lord, I am blessed every time I see him. I'm encouraged, and I thank You for that, God. The man has got faith. He knows, dear God, he's not afraid. Lord, bless Brady and Bradley, Megan and Amanda. Lord, just bless this family. Lord, break through the cloud that is in Debbie's mind. God, we love her. We ask God, Lord, that You would work with her, dear God, and save her. Father, we just pray, dear God, for Monica and her family and her mom and dad. Lord, Father, You know, Lord, that what that little family has been through, the stand that they've had to take, the friendships, the attacks that they've had on them. We ask You, Heavenly Father, God, Lord, that You'd give them grace. And Lord, Father, that You'd hear her prayers tonight for her mom and dad. Lord, please bless them. Lord, bless this church. Lord, I thank You, dear God, for my friends being here tonight. I love them and I care about them, Lord. And I ask You, God, Lord, that You'd give them comfort tonight. You'd give them grace. Be with my daughter, Lindsay. Lord, Father, give her comfort. Lord, just bless her. Lord, we'd like to see a little baby born. We ask You, Father, Lord, that You'd do that for Your glory and Your honor. But Lord, it's the desire of our heart. So, Father, Lord, would You please, as You did with Hannah, Lord, as You did with Rachel, as You did with Sarah, as You did with Elizabeth, Lord, would You open her womb, give her a child. Father, we thank You for Your word tonight. Thank You for this book. Lord, it is amazing to me every time I open it, God. I thank You, Lord, for the things You've shown me this week, dear God, and just the sweet time I've spent, Lord. Thank you, dear God, for your grace and your mercy on my life, Lord. I wouldn't be here tonight without it. Lord, I love you and I thank you, God. Lord, the things that you've done for me, Lord, would you do for these people tonight? Be good to them, God. Show them your love. We ask you this in Jesus' name. And all of God's people said, amen. Do you believe in prayer? I tell you, we were having a day yesterday. We buy postage from stamps.com. We buy it online and we pay that with a credit card and we give them so much money and then we can print out so much postage, and it's better than, because the post office here in Festus does not like Bethel Church. Amen, Gary? They don't like us. And there's one guy in particular that hates this church, and he gives us a hard time every time we go over there. And that's one of those deals, you got to pray for your enemies, okay? But anyway, we buy postage. Anyway, poor Alicia, she just was miserable looking yesterday. I love her, okay? But she was tired, she was in pain. And then stamps.com wasn't cooperating. Now, this is our mail out time. We're mailing out how many?
900
packages. That's the people on our mailing list right now. Mailing those out. And stamps.com was printing out a mailing label 3 every 10 minutes. If we were lucky. Before the software crashed. And we were down to, I told Alicia, I said, get everybody in the building, except me. Get everybody in the building. Sit them down with labels and have them start writing names and addresses down. We'll have to do this by hand if we have to. 900 times, but we got to get them out. And that's what they were going to do. And I was upstairs yesterday. I was kind of getting ready for some things. And I thought, you know, why don't I pray? And I just said, God, would you get this thing going, please? God, would you do that? Okay. And Gary came up, I don't know, probably an hour later. He said, oh, by the way, he said, the thing's spitting out labels just like this. He said, it's just going and going and going and going. It's just a little thing you pray for. Just never know what God's going to do. Oh, we of little faith. Amen?
Amen.
But just take that little faith, put it in the ground and see what happens. You'd just be amazed at the little things that God cares about. God cares about you, by the way. Amen? Amen. I don't know why, but He does. So just take advantage of it. Take your Bibles, if you would. Hebrews. Oh, I've been waiting to get to this. I don't know if I may just spend some time and some good things in the Word of God tonight. And I'll be honest with you, I don't know when I'm going to get through this this part here. Because when I get on a good subject, man, I just like to run it until there ain't nothing left to run out of it. Now, this is Jesus. Now, we've been talking about the words that Jesus said before He left heaven. This is the word He says before He left heaven the first time. I promise you, this is the word that He speaks as He is going to leave heaven. He's coming again.
Amen.
He is coming again. I'm doing, on the Watchman broadcast, I'm doing a series on the translation of the church, the rapture. We've already made, do we have any CD copies?
Yes.
We have those?
Yes.
Okay. Maybe sometime you could maybe set those on the table out here. We've made audio CDs of part one. And maybe prophecy ain't everything, and I don't teach a lot of prophecy down here. But I'll tell you, you just need a good pick-me-up. You need some encouragement. You need to be reminded how ready we need to be. I encourage you to listen to this, okay? I mean, it's just one verse after another. And I'm telling you, some things are going to happen. But God, Jesus, is coming back for us. Do you believe that? Say amen. And I want to tell you something. He's doing it by the book. He's doing it according to the book. Don't give me that garbage. Well, God can do anything He wants to. Listen, God's just, He's bound by His Word. They used to say in the old days, Jim, a man's as good as his Word. And if a man had built himself a reputation by what he said, if he did what he said, he had a reputation. We used to say that about people. And I want to tell you something. God has even magnified His Word above His name. That's how special this thing is. So I want you to look at this verse again. In Hebrews chapter 10, verse 7. Then said I, lo, I come. How does He come? In the volume of the book, It is written of me to do thy will, O God. Jesus, number one, you can tell his heart. His heart is that he wants to do the will of his Father. He wants to keep the fifth commandment, honor thy father and thy mother. That's what he came to do. He came to fulfill the law, and he came to honor his Father. Even in the Garden of Gethsemane, when he's praying and drops of blood are coming from his forehead, from his brow, he's in such agony because he knows what he's going to face. He knows what he's going to have to do. He knows the battle that is just coming at sunrise. And he's in the garden, and his flesh, because he had a flesh, he came in the flesh, and his flesh is not wanting to go through this. He can see ahead of time the scourging. He can see ahead of time how they hit him in the face. He can see ahead of time. The Bible says in the Old Testament they plucked his beard. The Bible, that he can see these things ahead of time. The weight of the cross, the nails driven through, the thorns on his head, the vinegar to his mouth. And then he can see his death giving up the ghost. And his flesh doesn't want to do it. But he says, nevertheless, let not my will, but thine be done. He wants to honor his Father. Somebody say amen. And if you're in Christ, that's the kind of heart you have. You want to honor your father. I believe in honoring your earthly fathers. Amen? That's something we've lost out of this country too. Somebody's, you know why? Because the fathers are gone. Fathers are gone all over this country. Kids being raised, they don't even know who their dad is. Okay? If you're in Christ, you want to honor the Father. You want to do what pleases Him. You want to seek His kingdom first and His righteousness. So that's His heart. But then He says, I come in the volume of the book, it is written of me to do thy will, O God. And what I want you to do is that I want you to memorize Hebrews 10:7. I want you to memorize it, or if nothing else, I want you to write it on a little piece of paper. Or if nothing else, I want you to underline it. Or maybe just on this white paper in the front of your Bible. Write down, lo, I come in the volume of the book it is written to me, to do thy will, O God. And do this for several reasons. Number one, our lives are to be by the book. Our lives are to be by the book. We find everything that we need in life. Even when we fail, there's a remedy for failure in this book. Do it by the book. Somebody say amen. Do it by the book. But number two, when somebody tries to come to you, and I may not just be saying this for this group here tonight, because what we have beyond the four walls of this room is we have a lot of people that have come from different walks of life. They've come from different Christian or religious backgrounds. And they have been told by some Bible study leader or by some woman preacher or by some man that not everything that God does is in the Bible. That's what they've been told. And maybe for a while you believed that. Maybe for a while that was something that you said, well, maybe, okay, because they were doing things in the church that were not in the Bible. And so isn't it amazing now that they invent a doctrine that says not everything that God does is in the Bible? Well, they have to say that, because if they believe that everything that God does is in the Bible and what they're doing is outside of the Bible, then obviously what they're doing is what? See how simple that is? And so anybody that comes to you, you just take this verse right here. You take this verse right here. And when they say, not everything that God does is in the Bible, you just open it up and point to this and say, well, if it was good enough for Jesus to do it by the book, it's good enough for me. I don't think I feel like barking like a dog tonight. I don't think I feel like being slain in the Spirit tonight. I don't think I feel like bowing to this image here. I don't think I want to do that. I think I just want to do what was good enough for Jesus, and that is, let's just do it by the book. Amen. And so I'm going to exaggerate. Let me give you this. Okay, you might want to write this down. This is really good. Okay. The name Jesus Christ, just the name Jesus Christ in your King James Bible, is found exactly 196 times. Now, why do I know that? I just know it. That's 49 times 4. That's 7 times 7 times 4. And that's pretty neat. Okay? The name Son of Man in your King James Bible, exact same number of times, Jared. 196 times. 49 times 4. 7 times 7 times 4. It's because the Son of Man is Jesus Christ. They're the same. Okay? The word book, or books, plural, in your King James Bible, 196 times, Jim. 49 times 4. 7 times 7 times 4. Son of Man, Jesus Christ, book, 196 times. This is the same as Jesus Christ. This is why He cannot do anything but what the book says in the volume of the book. There is no distinction between Jesus Christ and His Word, our printed Bible. There is no distinction. He is incorruptible, by the way. So is this Bible. He is eternal. So is this Bible. He always was, always is, and always shall be. So is this Bible. His Word is eternal. He always was the Word of God. And so anyway, in beginning was the Word. You know what that means? That at the very moment of the beginning of time, the Word already was. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. But I want us to look at... I'm not going to give 196 points to my sermon tonight. Okay, I've cut her down by half. And then by half again, and then by half again. Take your Bible, turn to Exodus chapter 17. Okay? And actually, I'm going to cover probably about 3 or 4 points of this tonight, and then I'll dismiss you. All right? And really, right off the bat here, this is relevant to the day that you and I are in right now. It is absolutely relevant to the day. I'm a constitutionalist, as far as our country is concerned. Our state government has a constitution. And I think we ought to hold our elected officials. I don't care if it's a county commissioner. I don't care if it's the city mayor or a city councilman or the governor or any member of legislature or any judge. I don't care if it's a small claims court judge. I think we ought to hold, as citizens of the state of Missouri, the county of Jefferson, I think we ought to hold our public elected officials to the Constitution and the laws of the state. They're made for everybody. Just because you're an elected official or a politician or the governor, that does not mean that you get excluded from certain laws. It doesn't mean that at all. You are a citizen of the state of Missouri, and the law applies equally. My niece, Holly, I love her dearly because she has got my sister's bad attitude. Okay? And my niece, Holly, is a Jefferson County... They call them brown clowns. She's a deputy sheriff. They wear brown uniforms in this county. Okay? Before that, she was a Hillsborough police officer. And my niece, Holly, pulled over one of the county elected officials headed to the courthouse in Hillsborough in the morning. Pulled her over for speeding. And she was in a hurry. And it annoyed her that she was being pulled over by one of her subordinates, she felt. And she told Holly, she said, "Do you know who I am?" And she said, "Yes, ma'am. Do you know who I am? I am the one who is writing you a ticket for speeding in this zone. Now, you may be able to go to the office when you get there, make a phone call and get out of it. But I've been sworn to write this ticket. I'm going to write this ticket." Amen. Amen. Yep. By the book. Amen? Same thing for the president, the vice president, the secretary of state, the congressman, and all the judges. It must be done by the book. I believe in that, and I agree to it. But anyway, let's look at what the Bible says. This is just some areas where the book shines to us as relevant tonight. Exodus chapter 17, verse 13. And Joshua discomfited Amalek and his people with the edge of the sword. What that means is that he broke up their fighting army and subdued them and won the battle. He discomfited them, Amalek and his people, with what? The edge of a very sharp, two-edged sword. You have enemies. They can and will be defeated by the Word of God. How many of you believe that? I believe that did you know that the Quran, you got a copy of that, don't you? You don't know what you, huh? It's in your car? Yeah! The Quran, from what I understand, calls us the people of the book. They know that we are supposed to be people of the book. Amen? And so I'm telling you, there's not anything that you deal with in life that cannot be dealt with the edge of the sword. If you've got enemies against you, then you can discomfit them. You can bust them up. That's easier to say. You can bust them up with the edge of this sword right here. Get this Bible out and use it for your advantage and for the glory of the kingdom of God. So it is, anyway, verse 14. And the Lord said unto Moses, write this for a memorial in a book. You have it right here. And rehearse it in the ears of Joshua. This book is not only meant to be written as a memorial of God's enemies and their doom, but it's to be rehearsed. That means that it's to be preached and taught and read over and over and over again so that we never forget that God, did you know, I'm going to tell you something, God to this day has a problem with Amalek. And the memorial of that is written in this book. And I'm here to tell you that before it's all said and done, God is going to do exactly what He said He memorialized in this book. By the way, that word memorialized, it's a legal term. When a police officer shows up on the scene, what does he start doing? He starts writing things down. He's filling out a report. So and so, let's say there's a domestic dispute or a traffic accident. The police officer shows up as an officer of the court and he begins to write down in a memorial book what happened. Measurements, the damage that he saw, the things that this witness said, the things that that witness said. Because everybody knows that when two people are in an accident, they both have different ideas of what happened. And the cop is there to do what? Write it down while it's fresh. He shows up on the scene, writes it down right then. That way there's a memorial. And judges and the insurance companies rely upon that memorialization. So should we. Read this Bible. Find out what God memorialized. Find out what He's going to do. But anyway, for I will utterly put out the remembrance of Amalek from under heaven. And now, here's why I say this has not happened yet. Who in here remembers Amalek? I do because I just read it. What's God going to do? Put out the remembrance. Amen? Hasn't happened yet, but it's going to. From under heaven. And Moses built an altar and called the name of it Jehovah Nissi. For he said, because the Lord has sworn that the Lord will have war with Amalek from generation to generation. Still fighting the war, but one of these days the war is going to be over with. Take your Bible, turn to Exodus 24. And these are pretty, I think these are all in Bible book order, so it'd make it easier for you. Exodus 24, verse 7. Paul mentioned this in the book of Hebrews. He said, when he's talking about things that are sprinkled with blood, and he said, under the law, just about everything under the law was sprinkled with blood and thus sanctified with blood. You, as a believer in Jesus Christ, have been sanctified. You've been sprinkled with the blood of Jesus Christ spiritually upon your soul, so that now you're clean. Now you're holy. You're as holy. Well, I tell you what, this is a good statement. You will be as holy as your Bible is. You, huh?
Because I'm heirs with Christ.
You're heirs with Christ. You will be as holy as your Bible is. And I'll say this, for any, I just do not understand this. The concept that I can have total faith and reliance upon a book that I believe has errors in it. I don't buy that. I mean, we're all going to run off this weekend, Jared. Okay? And let's say that you knew that there was a tiny little pinhole leak in your brake line. You going? But that's what people are doing. I trust the Bible. I read it every day. I my faith. But there's errors in it. How can you trust a set of brakes with a pinhole in it that leaks? How can you do that, Jim? I wouldn't trust a set of brakes with pinholes. I wouldn't trust a car that I worked on. Trust me. I would not trust a book. I could not straight face tell you that I have total reliance and confidence on this book if I truly felt it had errors in it, mistakes in it. And I want to tell you something, for preachers to say that they stand firm on the Word of God, and yet down in their heart, in their mind, their conscience knows that they believe that there's mistakes and errors in the text of this Bible, it's contradictory. It seems like to me your conscience has to be seared in order for you to say that with a straight face. I don't understand it. Anyway, next is 24, verse 7. He took the book of the covenant. This right here. And here's what I want you to do. I want you to, every time you see the word book, this is what we're talking about. Every time you see the word book, I want you to think of your Bible. Okay? Even when we're not there yet, we're not going to be there for a while. Even in Revelation chapter 5, there's a book in God's right hand. I've read a lot of commentaries in my college days, and they all had an idea. Well, this book is the such and such, or this book is the blankety blank. Okay? It's simple to me. This is the book that's in God's right hand. This is the book right here. And so I just don't have a problem with it seeing that the book is the book. And if it's the book here in Exodus, and it's the book in Deuteronomy, and it's the book in Psalms, it's the same book. Even the book where David said, "In thy book all my members were written, which in continuance were fashioned, when as yet there was none of them." He's talking about DNA. That's the book. Because the Bible and my DNA are absolutely identical in every way that I can see so far. And so when I see the word book, this is the book right here. And just kind of keep that in mind. So look at Exodus 24, verse 7. He took the book of the what? The covenant. Now my book has two covenants in it, the old and the new. This is the book of both the old and the new covenant. So he took the book of the covenant and read in the audience of the people. Listen, God's word was intended to be read. And you know what the word audience means? It's got the word audio in it. It means those who have ears to hear, let them hear. That's what an audience is. It's people who are hearing what's being said. And so he read it in the audience of the people. He read every word that was there. And they said, listen to this now. This is where this is interesting, because you see now right here an agreement of God's people to the covenant that he gave them. God said, thou shalt not do this, thou shalt not do that, thou shalt not do that, do not do this, do not do this, do that. And God gave all of those commandments in the covenant of the book. And notice what the people said. He read it in the audience of the people, and they said, what? All that the Lord hath said, we will we do and be obedient. That's what they said. And so, I mean, has anybody ever handed you a contract, 5 pages, and some of the paragraphs you were going? Anybody ever seen anything like that? They do that on purpose. There are things that... Who in here has ever clicked install to a piece of software on their computer? Who in here has ever read the agreement to the software? Do you know what it says, Gary?
I have no idea.
It says, you don't own this. Even though you bought it, you hold the disk in your hand, it's on your computer. You don't own it. We are giving you a license to use our property. And in some cases, that license means that they have a right, because you're using their software, they have a right to go through the network that your computer is on and find out how you're using it. You didn't read it, did you? You just clicked yes. Now, doesn't that seem a little silly to sign a contract that you don't know what's in it? They knew what was in it. Because Moses stood there and he read every word to them. And when they listened, here's what they said. They said, all that the Lord has said will we do and be obedient. So you know what? Here, watch this. God said, do these commandments and thou shalt live and be blessed. And they said, we promise we will do these commandments and we will be obedient. Here was God making the offer and them signing the agreement with their verbal endorsement of God's word. They said it. Now they're bound by the oath. What happened? They broke it. Was it just Israel that broke it? Everybody has. Everybody has. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. This is, and you might just want to jot this one down too. Because when God saved me, it was not based upon the conditions of this covenant. It was not. I don't ever remember. Jim, do you remember when you came down this altar and you said, you know, I just want to make sure I'm going to heaven. Did I at any time read to you from the Bible, now Jim, if you want to be in heaven, you have to do everything this book says or you fail. You remember? You don't remember me saying that. I didn't say it to him. I didn't. Listen, when I show somebody how to get saved, I don't go back to Deuteronomy. I don't go back to Exodus. I don't go to the Ten Commandments, but to show them that they've already broken the Ten Commandments. I show them, for by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. If you believe, Jim, do you believe? I think I asked you, Jim, do you believe what this Bible says? Amen. So this Bible said, if we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And when you did that, I said, Jim, do you believe the Bible? Yeah. It's according to this right here. What does this say? Where, if you died today, where would you go? That's what the man said. He did not agree to the terms of the old covenant. Didn't know. But you broke them. Oh, yeah. Back before Lori met you and all this stuff. Well, yeah, you were, yeah, okay, you're a good guy now. Okay? But here's my point. When we got saved according to the terms of the new covenant, the new contract, the book of the covenant that said, believe and you will live. Did you know, go back and think of all the Old Testament people that you think are in heaven. You think Abraham's in heaven? You know why he's in heaven, Jared? The Bible says he believed.
Yeah.
Right. You think Enoch is in heaven? You know why Enoch is in heaven? He believed.
Right.
You think Moses is in heaven? Did you know that Moses murdered? Is Moses in heaven? Yeah. Why? He believed. David? Is David in heaven? Why? David's an adulterer. David's a liar and a murderer.
Yep.
Is he in heaven?
Yep.
Why? He believed. And you trace it down. Solomon. Do you believe that Solomon is in heaven? I have biblical proof that he is. Okay? Solomon had 300 women that did nothing but lay in bed and wait for him to show up. They were not even his wives. They were concubines. He built temples to pagan gods and goddesses because his wives told him so. He drank wine. He slept with women. He had pagan altars. He had everything. He probably did everything that a man wants to do but knows he shouldn't. And you know why I believe Solomon's in heaven? Because Solomon wrote most of the Proverbs, Ecclesiastes, Song of Solomon. And maybe a few Psalms. You know what that makes him? Holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. That's why I believe he's in heaven. How did Solomon get there? He believed. It was not by his deeds of righteousness, because we all know there that throughout the core of his life, he had none. But he believed. And God called him a holy man. And I just believe this Bible. I believe what it says. And so they said, all that the Lord has said we will do and be obedient. And Moses took the blood and sprinkled it on the... Oh, you're going to like this. Moses took the blood, sprinkled it on the people, and said, behold the blood of the covenant which the Lord hath made with you concerning all these words. Now, what kind of blood was that? Man, what do you think? What kind of blood was that? That Moses... Huh? Animal blood. He didn't say, Aaron, come here. What are you doing? I need some blood. Well, get your own. He used the blood of animals. The blood of a nasty goat sprinkled on the people and the book. A temporary, won't hold up covenant. Sprinkled with temporary blood. And the day before Jesus died, he took a cup. He said, this is the blood of my new testament. This is the new testament in my blood. Drink ye all of it in remembrance of me. You see, there was temporary blood for a temporary covenant. Christ's blood is eternal. Did you know the Bible says that? It's eternal. It's incorruptible. It's God's blood. That's what I read when I read my Bible. If you want to change that doctrine, you have to change the words of the covenant. I don't want to do that. The blood of the New Testament was Jesus' eternal blood. Sprinkled upon us that saves us. Aren't you glad? This is so beautiful. I absolutely love this. It's 8 o'clock. What I want you to do, I want you to take your Bible, turn to Deuteronomy 17. And Deuteronomy 17, I want you to study this. Can you do that? Can you study something while I'm away? Okay. Deuteronomy, Jim, this would be good to read out on the deer stand. Okay? Get you, if you don't have, well, that'll fit. That'll fit in a pack. I had a Bible. Huh? You got your phone? Okay. Okay. I had a little Bible that I carried in my pack. And I remember one year, I mean, I'm really into it. And I look up, oh, there's deer. Yeah. Huh? There were three of them. Yeah. And they stopped just long enough to look at me. Yeah, anyway, that was a long time ago. I've gotten a little bit more serious about it now. Deuteronomy 17. Because this actually fits in exactly with what's going on in our country. You know what God told Israelites to do? And he said, when you get into the land. By the way, let me share this with you. And this, I know this probably won't be very popular with some people. You know how many divisions of the land there were in the land of Israel? There were 13. Okay? You know how many divisions of the land there were in the beginning of our country? 13. Okay? But here's the thing. God told the Israelites, he said, when you go into the land, he said, I know you're going to want a king. This was before Samuel and Saul. He said, I know for a fact you're going to want a king, and I'm ready for it. And he said, here's what you do. And you read this, and you study this, and we're going to talk about it when we get back. This is why we are in the shape that we're in right now. God said, when that king sits on his throne, and there's all kinds of qualifications, that right now, those qualifications for the leader of the land have been degraded so much. The man that we have in the office right now does not qualify under God's terms.
Yeah.
Okay? But what he told him was, he said, you have the scribes take him the book. And he is to write out a copy of the book. He didn't say, give him one, print him off one. He said he's to write it out. A copy of this book. And there was a reason why God wanted the leader of his people to have a copy of the book. And you go read that. Deuteronomy 17. It'll floor you. It'll floor you. To this day, we have the fossilized remnant of Deuteronomy 17 still barely alive in this country. And that is for the most part, now this hasn't always done this way, but for the most part, the president will put his hand upon a what? A Bible. And swear the oath of office. Now there have been a few variances of that. I found out LBJ on the plane coming out of Dallas did not use a Bible. He used Jack Kennedy's Catholic Mass book. It's called a missal. MISSAL. And it has all kinds of little Catholic prayers and chants and stuff like that in it. And that's what LBJ used to swear the oath of office. That's interesting to me. Okay? But for the most part, the very first president put his hand upon a Bible, swore an oath, and it was a King James Bible, and swore an oath. Okay? And I'm just saying, I know there's a lot of things wrong in the country, but what I'm telling you is, the fossilized remains of Deuteronomy 17 were in effect in this country at one time, and you can still see it. In my childhood, I remember them, when you go to court, what'd you have to do? Put your hand on a Bible and swear. That's all gone. Okay, that's all gone. It doesn't mean anything anymore. Okay, there's reasons why we are in the mess that we're in this country right now. There's reasons, and the reasons are in that book, and you'll find most of them in Deuteronomy 17. So you go home and you read that and you study that out. All right, let's stand to our feet tonight. Come on, Jim. Yeah. Let me hold you up. Father in heaven, we love you. We thank you, dear God, for mercy and goodness. We thank you, dear God, for being our God. We thank you for the book. Lord, let it be known that people of Bethel are people of the book. No other thing, God, can anybody say about us that we're people of the book. They can call us a King James only cult. Lord, I've been called that this week. They can say whatever they want to. Lord, I wear that badge with honor because I am a man of the book and I don't want to be anything else. Lord, let it be known there are still some people in this country, there are still some people in this world that are people of the book. And God, we live by that book. We will die by that book. We will die maybe even because of that book. But because of that book, we will live again. And so, Lord, we renew, Lord, our commitment and our covenant with You that we will believe what that book says. We will let it live in us rather than us trying to live up to it. And Father, Lord, through Your grace and through Your mercy and through Your working in us, Lord, that You would do Your will in our lives according to that book. And Lord, when Jesus comes back, it will be done according to the book. May He come quickly. Bless us tonight, we pray in Jesus' name. And all of God's people said, Amen. God bless you.
Hello, folks. Pastor Mike here. And sometimes you'll hear me talk about during a sermon or a teaching about being saved or salvation. And some people just don't know what that is. And I just want to share with you from the Bible what it means to be saved. The Bible tells us in Romans 3:23 that all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. I'm not here as a pastor or here as part of this church because I'm better than anybody. I'm here because I'm a sinner. I have done things that have violated the laws of God. And I need to be sorry for those. The Bible says in Romans 6:23, for the wages of sin is death. We all have what's coming to us as a result of our sinfulness and as a result of us breaking God's law. And some people say, well, you know, it says death. Yeah, we're all going to die. But that doesn't necessarily mean hell. The Bible also says the wicked shall be turned into hell and all the nations that forget God. See, the Bible teaches, and we teach here in a literal place called hell. We believe in a literal place of joy and peace and eternal life that is in heaven, that God gives to those that are saved. But we also believe in eternal hell, a place of everlasting torment to those who reject God's gift of salvation. So we know that we have sinned. We know that the wages of that sin is death. But the Bible says in the same verse, Romans 6:23, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. John 3:16 says, for God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever, including me and including you, would believe in Him, should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God sent not His Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through Him might be saved. Being saved means being born again and being saved from the wrath of God's judgment upon us, what we deserve, what we have coming as a result of our sinfulness. So the Bible says in 1 John 1:9 that if we confess our sins, God is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Now, I don't know about you, but one of the greatest things, in fact, the greatest thing that has ever happened to Mike Hoggard is the fact that I confessed my sins to God, and God forgave and still does forgive every one of my sins. Romans 10 says it this way. It says, if we confess with our mouth the Lord Jesus Christ and believe in our heart that God raised Him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. What it means to be saved is that God has cornered you with the result and the things, the effects of your sin in your life. The Holy Spirit is bearing down on your soul right now, and you feel the guilt of Almighty God upon you. And God is trying to make you so that, just like our parents used to do, God is trying to make you sorry for your sins. We confess those sins to God. We repent of them, which means that we don't want sin to be a part of our life any longer. And we simply ask God, God, You take over the reins in my life and You be the Lord of my life. And You give me the promise of Your Holy Spirit in me so that I know that when I die, I'm going to heaven now. And I want you to understand that God offers salvation to you today if you will accept His free gift. Trust in the Lord, repent of your sins. And the Bible says, whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. If you watch any of our videos or at some point and God is just dealing with you, you bow your head and you call upon the name of the Lord and ask God to forgive you and ask God to save you. And God promised in His Word, and God has never broken His Word, God promised in His Word that He would forgive you and that He would save you, and heaven would be your eternal home. I hope and pray that one of these days I see you in heaven and you get to see me in heaven. God bless you. Bye-bye.